Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing the story here. We finished 1 Samuel, and actually we almost finished 1 Samuel. We got 8 verses left, so we're going to pick up the 8 verses here and continue into 2 Samuel. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down, slain in the Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadad, and Malchishua, Saul's sons, and the battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, "Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his 3 sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men, that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on either side of the valley, and they that were on the side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his 3 sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And so we have the end there. We have the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1, as foretold by the prophet, that Saul would fall, and he did. The death of Saul. When David returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. Now, of course, the slaughter of the Amalekites was the Amalekites slaughtering Israel. And, of course, Saul, the king, and his sons perished in the battle. So, and we read part of this last time, but that was at the end of my study on 1 Samuel. So to get a fresh start with a new file, we're starting back at the very beginning of the chapter here. So we'll go through a little bit of it again. And it's always good to get back in context by backing up a little bit. So David said, "From whence comest thou?" Back up a little bit more here. It came to pass on the 3rd day that a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. It means he was dirty. And so it was, when he came to David, he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said to him, "From whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." And David said to him, "How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me." And see, news moves slow in those days. It was 3 days. And David is inquiring of the matter. He says, "I pray thee, tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said to the young man that told him, "How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead?" In other words, is this hearsay, or did you see it with your own eyes? And the young man told him, "As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, 'Here am I.' And he said unto me, 'Who art thou?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.'" So this guy's not even a child of Israel. He said to me, "Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me." Now, if you read 1 Samuel, the end of the book there, you'd realize that none of this really happened. that we have another account where Saul asked his armor bearer to slay him, and his armor bearer would not do it. So he fell upon his own sword because his injuries were so grave that he feared more being taken captive in the situation he was than to bring about the inevitable death that was upon him. So he fell upon his own sword, and then his armor bearer, also being wounded, fell upon his sword. And of course, his sons were killed there on the hill before him too. So if you could imagine the state of mind of Saul at that time, seeing his son slain and knowing that his own injuries are unto death, and just, you know, falling on his sword to bring about that inevitable, because it would be far worse to be abused in the state he's in by the enemies if they find him. But this guy here, he's going to take credit for killing Saul, the enemy of David, thinking perhaps that he's going to get some reward or position or something like that. Well, he will get his reward, and let's read on and see what his reward is. So I stood upon him and slew him because I was sure that he could not live. After that he was fallen, and I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither to my lord. Basically, he looted the king. Then David took on and took the loot, of course, as evidence of the word that he was bringing, that he slew the enemy of David, that being Saul. And David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said to the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger and an Amalekite." And David said to him, "How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him." And he smote him that he died. And David said to him, "Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed." And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah to use the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughter of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither that let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan, turn not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love was to me wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." So David's epitaph is remembrance of Saul, and especially Jonathan, his dear friend. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that you have shown this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, the son of Ner, the son of Ish, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, Let thy young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, Let them arise. And there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. Now, you can, when they said arise and play, they were playing pretty rough. It sounds like they were playing for keeps. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. Of course, the division being between Israel and Judah, and the tribes that were aligned with Judah, and the tribes that were aligned and called Israel. So there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were 3 sons of Zeruiah, there Joab, Abishai, and Azahel, and Asahel was a light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand, nor to the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, Art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to them, Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the 5th rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there, and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died and stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. And the sun went down, and they were come to the hill of Ahmah, that lieth before Giah, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, and became one troop, and stood on the top of a hill. And Abner called to Joab, and said, Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren? And Joab said, As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up every one from following his brother. So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men, and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and Abner's men, so that 300 and 80 men died. And they took Asahel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was at Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. So basically what we have there is a provocation between the tribes. Of course, David on one side and the side called Israel, and the tribes aligned with that side of the kingdom. They provoked a fight. There was a fight, and more of them fell in the fight. And in the end, they averted an all-out war and went home. So we move on to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. This is a history of Israel, basically, with names and people and places and everything. Reminds me of how many people write to me or make comments on my videos on YouTube, and I get those deriding me for believing in a book of fantasy. Well, it is a book of history. They are the ones who believe in a fantasy, because there's true history, which I'm reading to you here, and then there's the, well, watered-down history that they read in their books, which leaves out all of this history. I mean, every history class should at least segregate the parts of the scripture that are history and study them as they are history. But basically what they teach as history is a synopsis with a twist for whoever controls the history books. And I wonder who's in charge of the curriculums in America. Well, I guess I don't even have to say it. There's, 28 major universities that seem to control everything else as far as academics go. And that goes from what's in the public school books to what's taught in even the Protestant seminaries. So you figure it out. Okay, we're moving on here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now it says, Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Of course, that ended with David's death. With Saul's death. But we see that a war continued with the son of Saul being made king over the northern part of Israel, the northern tribes called Israel, and David being king over, I believe it's Judah and 2 or 3 other tribes. I guess I should have looked a little closer into that, but you can check it out for yourself if that's an important point to you. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and the firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, I don't know how you pronounce that, let's see, Maacoth, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Now you see that David already has, let's count the wives here for a minute. Of course, the first one was Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, that's one. Abigail, that's two, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. The third was Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Haggith. And the fifth, Abital. So we see that he had five wives by this time. Oh, and six, okay, Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. So he had six wives at this time. These were born to David in Hebron. So it's the only way you can get six children born about the same time is to have six wives, apparently. One woman, the only way one woman could do it is if she had sextuplets. Because, you know, you have the period of time, 9 months. And then, of course, you have until the weaning because there's that natural mechanism that prevents a woman from getting pregnant in most cases while she's nursing a child. That would be far too much, too taxing on the body of a woman. So our Heavenly Father put that mechanism there, that natural birth control. Well, anyway, we'll pick up here when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border.